If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com. I'm Tony Andracki, and the news of the day is Kyle Schwarber's return to Wrigley Field in Chicago. The Cubs recalled their left-handed slugger early Thursday morning after he hit four homers with nine RBI in 11 games at Iowa. He also walked eight times against 12 strikeouts, and the Cubs feel as if he's made all the changes that they were hoping for. His confidence level is back to the point where, you know, they saw it in the World Series last year, where he had those epic at-bats against Corey Kluber and the Indians pitching staff, despite not seeing live pitching, except for one Arizona Fall League game, that is, since in April, you know, and more than 6 months off in between. And now, you know, Kyle Schwarber actually talked about how he's a really confident guy. He is confident in all his abilities. And this little hiccup, this little roadblock, so to speak, in his career hasn't done anything to change the way that he feels about himself as a player. So let's listen to him talk about it now as a return to the Wrigley clubhouse.
Really glad to be back. You know, went down and pretty much just hounded down on everything I wanted to. And, you know, I feel like it went really well. Me, Males, Hainsey, and, you know, I felt like we had a really good plan going into it. And, you know, a lot of swings. Was able to hash things out that I wanted to, and you know, ready to you know, just clean the slate and get back to, you know, business.
Is there any one thing that you found that you're able to just concentrate on that's different now compared to when you walked out of here a couple weeks ago?
You know, I think it was just more just being able to shorten everything down again, and you know, this trust everything, you know. You know, I have a lot of confidence in myself, and then, you know, I still did when I was up here. And, you know, now that I was able to go down there and just hash everything down, just kind of make it more of second nature and, you know, stop thinking about it, you know, I think that it was all around really positive experience for me. And, you know, being down there, being able to see old teammates, everything like that, you know, it was a lot of fun. I was able to have fun down there too, which was very important. And, you know, just ready to, you know, come grind this thing out for a little bit and, you know, hit the All-Star break and, you know, get right back to business right after that.
What do you think it was that wasn't right, that went wrong?
You know, I just think that, you know, everything got a little bit too big for me. You know, just my moves and everything like that. You know, it was just, you know, really focusing down on some little things. You know, it wasn't drastic. It was just being able to the focus on some little things, because, you know, I was just missing my pitch. And, you know, being able to shorten things down. And now to get back on my pitch, you know, it's feeling good.
Kyle, you said consistently the leadoff spot did not bother you, did not hinder whatever was going on, and you still stick with that.
Yeah, I still believe it. You know, it's not because, you know, I was hitting first or I was hitting eighth or whatever it was. It was because, you know, something wasn't working right. And, you know, I feel like I'm doing what I want to do now. And, you know, looking forward to, you know, being up here and helping the team win again.
If Joe put you back up there, it would be a big deal. Are you kind of happy to start in the fifth hole? Or
it doesn't matter.
Did you know you'd be coming back around this time, like pre-All-Star stuff?
Huh?
Did you know you'd be coming around back this time? Was there like a
place? There wasn't really the timetable. And, you know, I think that, you know, we had really good communication all around on, you know, just how I was feeling and, you know, just the readiness of what I felt like I was. And, you know, we kind of hashed out an extra couple of days down there. And, you know, I think it was definitely, you know, well paid off.
Was there an aha moment, like just a swing or something in a game where it's just like, wow, that clicked, that was it?
You know, I think it was, you know, there was one at, you know, it was we were in Iowa and we were facing you know, lefty, and it went out, you know, stayed on a pitch left center, and you know, I feel like that was kind of the big thing for me, and you know, being able to stay on that pitch and drive it to left center, you know, that was kind of just my overall message, was to be able to use the middle of the field better. Mm-hmm. And you know, I feel like that, you know, throughout this whole process, you know, I felt like right, left, whoever it was pitching, you know, I just wanted to focus on that.
The attention that you get at Iowa is immense, even before you got to the big league. So did it seem like old times in that regard? I mean, it's just it's so hyper when you're down there.
it was like a mini Wrigley, I guess, being down there, and you know, had a lot of fans out there. It was really cool, you know, good experience. You know, obviously it isn't Wrigley, but you know, it was the closest thing to it. So you know, it was really good.
Why are you so upbeat, Kyle, and not like sulking or anything like that? What kept you upbeat and positive about this?
You know, I'm not a pouter. You know, I'm pretty. Like I told you, I'm pretty damn confident in myself, and you know, I've overcame a lot of different things, and you know, I feel like that was a really big learning experience for me, and you know, now knowing what I have to do to get back. You know, things start going wrong again, whatever it is, you know, I feel really confident in that.
Kyle, most importantly, of course, is the team standpoint. Do you have to share the same confidence from a team standpoint that you guys are going to just start getting this all together?
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure that all these guys here are ready to get things rolling. And, you know, we pretty solid win yesterday. And, you know, I think that we're all really ready to get things going again.
The numbers bear you out as far as you saying you were just missing your pitch from the first 270 bats to the last 270, almost exactly the same except for a few hits here. Did you concentrate metrically on anything that the club gave you to internalize?
No. Just really just focused on myself there, and just everything about my swing. You know, I think it was more about me and not the way that pitches are getting thrown. So, you know, that I think that was the biggest focus there.
Joe has talked about young players looking up at the scoreboard stats and things. Do you sort of look at the second half coming up as just a restart, like 0-0-0?
Yeah, everything's a wash for me. You know, whatever the number's going to say, it's going to say, but I'm looking at it as 0-0. You know, it's going to be the same thing every game.
You said you had fun at Iowa, and the lights are a little bit lower there, obviously, but now you're back here. Do you think about that, and then every at-bat now is going to be scrutinized and the
no,
way that works?
No. I'm definitely going to be having a lot of fun. And, you know, I'm ready to get back out there and start playing again.
What do you think was the number one thing you learned about your swing down there? I know you work on a lot here, too.
You know, I guess it was just how one little adjustment can get you back right back on track. So you know, we'll see how this all goes, but you know, I'm planning on just being me and going out there having fun competing, and you know, going out there with the boys and grinding it out.
All right, that was Kyle Schwarber talking about his re-promotion to the big leagues. Theo Epstein also met with Chicago media on Thursday morning at Wrigley Field and talked about how it's more of a retooling of Kyle Schwarber's swing rather than a rebuild. So it's not exactly like they were breaking down his entire swing like Jason Hayward had to do this offseason. More of making sure that Schwarber can do some damage when he gets a fastball in the zone instead of fouling it back or popping it up like he had a little bit too often for anybody's liking before the demotion to the minor leagues. So let's hear Theo talk a little bit about what the Cubs front office has seen from Kyle Schwarber in his stint with AAA Iowa.
Kyle's worked his tail off and feels really confident, looks great at the plate. And this was more about a reset for him than it was a rebuilding. And in the couple weeks that he was down there, the 8 games, he accomplished what we wanted him to accomplish, and he's back ready to go.
What adjustments did he make?
Just a little bit smaller movements, smaller pre-pitch movements, and using the whole field more, staying a little bit more balanced, a little bit more centered, bat in the hitting zone a little bit longer, less around the ball. And he's been seeing the ball really well, putting good swings on the baseball to all fields. His last swing down there last night, he drove a ball off the wall in left center. It was kind of classic Schwarber swing, and he's feeling really good. He's ready to go. He thinks he's found himself, and that's what this was all about.
He talks a lot about his confidence. He's a confident player. Are you seeing that when he came back?
Yeah, his body language is more typical of what we've seen from his attitude and body language, where he, when he's right, he's kind of stalking the pitcher from the on-deck circle and controls the at-bat from the batter's box, and that's what we've seen down there. And obviously, it's baseball. You're not necessarily going to see results right away, and that's not what we're asking of him. Just a consistent approach and maintaining confidence and a positive attitude, which he has right now, and we know results will come eventually.
How impressed were you with his demeanor, the way he approached this, the way he handled it, and coming back the way he did?
Yeah, it was impressive. It was all about going to work and getting this thing fixed. He didn't get down on himself emotionally. He wasn't panicking. He just said, this is an opportunity to change my environment and get work done so I can get back and help the team. And he accomplished everything he set out to do so far, and now it's a matter of really starting his season over again and being patient with this approach, and we know we'll see results.
Do you agree with Joe that the leadoff had nothing to do with his struggles, and would you like to see
I think back? We don't know. I mean, that's my thoughts on that are, it's impossible to know. So, I think it makes sense today to put him where he's at. I think Joe made a good decision putting him a little bit, middle of the order, down the order a little bit. But it's there's some things you can know about baseball, and there's some things you can't know, and that's one that it's almost impossible to tell. So,
would you just assume leave him out of that spot at least until further?
I just assume leave that up to Joe, which is the way it always is.
Was that part of the conversation before you made this decision?
It came up for about 10 seconds as, Joe sort of thought about the lineup tomorrow. Yeah, it's his call. I gave my input, but it's ultimately his call.
Did you want to see him come up before the break to maybe try to get a little going?
No, just wanted him to come up when the time was right. And, we all watched just about every one of his at-bats. I watched every at-bat down there, and there were certain things we were looking for. And this seemed like the right time based on the work he had put in, how he was swinging the bat, and how he was feeling about himself.
All right, that was Cubs president Theo Epstein. Joe Maddon, Cubs manager, also spoke to the media about where he believes Schwarber fits in this lineup. Thursday against the Brewers, Schwarber is hitting fifth and not immediately inserted back into the leadoff spot. Let's hear from Joe now.
Talking to Theo after the game yesterday, everybody was pretty much on board that he looked right and it was the right time to bring him back. I know Kyle's been trying to get back for several days. He's been putting the word out that he's ready to go. So anyway, it's the right time to do it. He looked good. I mean, I saw him when he came in to talk to me. I thought he looked really lean and ready, and he looked rested in a sense. So I'm really excited to see him play too.
You sent him down partly because of the schedule, the lefties and Strasburg.
Yep.
Scherzer. Four righties coming up. Is that also part of it as well?
No, honestly, no. It's just a matter that we thought he was ready to go. That's it. I mean, if he did not look like he was ready to go, I mean it sincerely, he would not be here today. That was the conversations I had with Theo the last several days. he was politicking to get up here, like I said, on before the Tampa Bay series, but the guys wanted to see him play a couple more games, and apparently he continues to look really good at the plate. So it was just a matter that, in a situation like this, you want to make sure that you're doing it right by him, Kyle. So everybody was satisfied that he's ready to roll.
His numbers, his first 270 bats, second 270 are now complete. They're all the same except for 19 hits. What would that tell you with your eye test and knowing that he's just 19 hits off from being the same batter he was the first 270?
Well, yeah, I mean, eye test-wise, I've talked about it a lot. He just kept fouling his pitch off for me. I mean, it was really hard to understand because it looked like he was on time. And when you're fouling pitches off, if they're going that way, if you're left-handed, you're late. And if, you're pulling it all the time, then you're cheating and early. But everything was on time, and it was going straight back. A lot of times when you see a guy fouling the ball straight back, you kind of like it. You think like he's on time, it's just a little adjustment, he's going to get right back. And so that was the disconnect for me, was that was happening and the results weren't there. And then I think he got frustrated. I just think that a part of that was missing his pitch and not getting the results he normally gets, probably that's going to impact your confidence at some point. It just does. So I think it was a myriad of factors just getting in the way right there. But more than anything, he got a little bit long with his movements, and that might have contributed to the foul ball also, probably trying to do too much. I mean, when you're talking earlier with Kenny Revisa, like when the guys look up at the scoreboard, you see all these numbers, and it's impactful when you see your number being so low and you want to get it back by next Wednesday, and it's not going to be done by next Wednesday, so you start trying to do more and more and more, where it's really appropriate to try to do less, actually. Try easier is a really good phrase. So it's really difficult to get highly competitive young players to try easier at times, but that's exactly what he needs to do.
How impressive was it that he didn't sulk or anything about this and kept a positive, upbeat
attitude? Yeah. It's not surprising. I mean, we all know him. I think he's a highly accountable young man. He knew he needed it. He was probably kind of expecting it in advance, and it was probably somewhat of a relief just being able to do that so you could go there away from the maddening crowd and attempt to get yourself back together. And I think that's exactly what occurred. None of that surprised me about him. I don't think it surprises any of you about him either. He's just a highly accountable young man, pretty straightforward, and you got to love that too. So he handled everything properly, yes.
Joe, how did you decide to put him in the fifth
spot? Just based on the names. But we went Jay, KB, then it went to Riz, Ian. And then you could put a lefty in there, and I chose to go with him, and then to Contreras, to Hayward, et cetera. So if you see the lineup goes back and forth all the way down. I kind of like the balance of it. Based on what I'm hearing, I thought he'd be kind of excited to be put in that spot also. So I'm looking for that adrenaline flow possibly. But it was a back-and-forth situation. Could have gone half four and then Contreras, but then you're going to back up lefties with Schwarber and Hayward. I didn't want to do that. So the symmetry was there doing it the way I thought we did it.
Do you envision being there for four straight days? I know you go day-to-day, but do you have any thoughts on
I don't. I just want to see him play. We'll see how he's looking, and then we'll work it from there.
What else do you think you might do to try to put him in the right place? Like maybe leave him in one spot, maybe. Is there anything else you might try to do just because he has so much attention and there were struggles?
No, I'm just trying to put him, again, in the best spot in the batting order. I mean, in other words, if you put him stacked with two lefties, there's a better chance of him seeing a lefty. Today, for instance, with them, Suter's got ridiculously good numbers against lefties. The other lefty, Scahill, I think, does not have the same kind of an impact versus a lefty. So I'm trying to keep him in a spot to get a better pitcher to pitch against him. So I've tried to do that with all the guys. That's a part of the reason why I like to go the back and forth, especially when there's multiple left-handers in the bullpen. So it's more about setting these guys up, putting them in a good position to succeed, and trying to keep them out of a bad moment. So I'll try to do with everybody, not just with him.
Joe, following up just on that a little bit, what are reasonable expectations for Kyle in just the terms of what you would like to see from him? I mean, obviously,
right,
to see him go off, but...
Right. Reasonable expectations, just to see the typical good Kyle at bat. What does that mean? Some balls going to left center hard, you know, into that gap, I think would be kind of interesting to see again. And you just see when a guy gets frustrated or not, just to see that he's not frustrated after he's going to have a bad at bat or two, there's no question. It's to see that he's not frustrated, that he's still got that confidence, that swagger going on. So a lot of it for me is just about paying attention really closely as possible. I'm really good at not throwing my personal expectations out there on somebody else. I'm really, in this situation, I think it's all about observation and evaluation. Just see where he's at. Continue to promote him to himself, really encourage him, and just see where it takes us. I really anticipate good stuff. I do.
What does he mean when he comes back and Albert Elmore is hugging him? And what does he mean to the team to have somebody like him back, because he's so beloved in that locker room?
Yeah, I mean, he is. You're absolutely right. I mean, he's a big part of our culture here. He established that over the last couple of years. It does mean a lot. We do. You kind of feel more whole when he's back here, and good for him, because that's what he does in regards to the accountability we were talking about earlier. He sets the right kind of an example for the rest of the guys. And he's a man's man, the way he took it, the way he did it. Appropriate, right, the exactly the way you're supposed to do something like that. That's what he did. And so I think when he walks in, other guys recognize it, and if anybody feels like they're lacking in any of those qualities, they're kind of boistered by having him back.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here on the Cubs Talk podcast. When we come back, we'll chat with Cubs insider Patrick Mooney and his takeaways from Schwarber Day at Wrigley Field. Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/cubs. Members FDIC.
After every Cubs game, stay tuned for Cubs Post Game Live, sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, with David Kaplan and David DeJesus. Hear from Cubs players inside the locker room. Get a live look inside Joe Maddon's post game press conferences and more.
Welcome back into the Cubs Talk podcast. I'm Tony Andracki here with Patrick Mooney, Cubs insider, who is out at Wrigley Field right now for all the Kyle Schwarber drama making his return. Pat, what did you hear from Kyle himself? I mean, we heard him talk about how he's so confident as a player and he doesn't get down on himself too much. Is that the kind of body language he exuded as well today?
Yeah, without a doubt, Tony. It almost felt like he never left just because we had all these Schwarber watch headlines. Walking home from Wrigley the other night, I saw his image on the side of that Clark Street Sports pop-up store. The Cubs team store within Wrigley, you see his image. The New Era hat ads are still running on the video board. So in the flesh, Kyle Schwarber has the exact body language you would hope for and really expect. At this point, he was loose. He was all smiles. He was giving out bro hugs left and right. Zobrist, when he walked into the room. Almora at the end of his media session. And then before he met reporters, he was doing this kind of little joking punch to the gut of Wilson Contreras. So we've seen this Cubs team for more than half a season now. It's been win one, lose one, yada, 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 this kind of blah start. And the hope now is that everything resets for Kyle Schwarber, and he is that energizing presence that he was in the 2015 season and, again, obviously in last year's World Series.
So when he went down, or when Theo was talking about him going down and coming back up, he talked about it more, I believe he phrased it like a reset instead of a rebuild. I thought that was kind of interesting, a little maybe tongue-in-cheek, because, you know, you're talking about a player, not an organization. But can you maybe explain your takeaway from Theo's statement on that, and what exactly Schwarber kind of reset about going down to the minor leagues?
That was kind of a buzzword line from the Schwarber portion of Theo's presser in the home dugout here. And to me, it echoed from what they had to do with Jason Hayward, where that to me sounded like kind of completely breaking something down, looking into his past and see what had worked then, you know, studying the video, you know, working off keys and kind of gradually building him back up towards something where I think with Schwarber, it was just he needed to decompress and clear his head and get away from everything. And he said everything kind of got big on him. He had to shorten his stroke, simplify things. And from a Cubs perspective, it's not like you completely lose something. We all saw those at bats in the World Series against the Corey Klugers and the Andrew Millers. This is never a guy who did it in garbage time. When you look at the wild card game and how he hit Garrett Cole and put that ball in the Allegheny River in Pittsburgh, this guy's done it against the best pitching in the world. They're confident he's going to do it again, and that the hope is that reset does get him back to where he was not that long ago. But I think a main idea was Joe Maddon in Washington last week of just kind of admitting that everyone just got way too carried away and thought that Schwarber doing it as a DH in a couple of games, granted, in the World Series, was just going to kind of translate over automatically in his first full season in the big league. So not a Jason Hayward thing where you're kind of tearing it down to build it back up again. It's just hoping a couple of days in Iowa and resetting in AAA will get him back to where he was.
So where can he fit in this lineup? You talked about him potentially being that energizing piece, and you know, we've talked about it all along. A lot of people thought, I think you and I, you know, included in that, that the Cubs offense might take a step forward this year based off of last year, in large part because you got Kyle Schwarber in the lineup. And last year he had, what, all of 5 plate appearances before wrecking his knee before the World Series. So where can he fit in this lineup? Is he best suited as a leadoff hitter? Or really, how does he help everybody all around, from Chris Bryant to Anthony Rizzo to Wilson Contreras on down?
Well, you're right, Tony. I mean, it wasn't just us. It was the nerds in the front office telling Joe Madden that this team score way more than the 800-plus they did last year. But they were – it wasn't just Schwarber. They were factoring in kind of next level, next year growth from all these young hitters. And obviously, we haven't quite seen that yet. You are seeing a lineup that's a little more whole now with Zobrist and Hayward getting healthy, but I'm kind of over the, you know, I know we just talked about the reset for a long time, but you know, Kyle Schwarber's got a lot to prove, and he admitted that in spring training, and I think this idea of everything suddenly being fixed because he saw some AAA pitching, it's just not realistic in that it's time to dial back those expectations, hope that he can be just even a league average contributor, because if you look at his, I think his batting average was the worst in the majors at the time of the demotion, and his OPS was nowhere close to just an average player in the National League this year. So I think it's going to start slow. If he can get a couple big hits, they open up the second half of the season in Baltimore, where they're obviously need DH. I think reading between the lines, I think Theo told Joe, back off this leadoff idea. That's probably not the best thing. You'll never know whether or not this caused the spiral, but it's not like you immediately took to the role, and that's something that kind of bothered Jason Hayward when the Rays tried to do that with him, and he became someone who he really wasn't. So hope he can hit a couple of Schwar bombs, get the crowd involved, bring some energy back into the clubhouse, in the dugout, force feed him some good matchups, and not just write his name at the top of the lineup every single day.
So if Schwarber's not the long-term answer at leadoff, who is, do you think, for the next 3 months? And is that really... does it really matter? Do they need a consistent guy, in your opinion, like Dexter Fowler? Obviously, you know, we saw what Fowler did the first half of 2015. He struggled. The Cubs offense kind of struggled. And then, you know, when he started finding consistency, he really took off in the later half of 2015 and then all through last year. But do you think there's too much made of the leadoff spot, and who could fill it this year if the Cubs need that consistency up there?
Well, if you ask your boy John Lackey, John Jay should be playing a lot more. He was scratching his head over that one when he got a softball question after Jay hit that huge pinch hit home run, and obviously Jay in that win over the Rays. And Jay is someone who's performed really well in a limited role and has kind of universal respect in the clubhouse for his professionalism and preparation, and I do think Madden is going to go mix and match by committee. That's kind of already how he views the daily lineup puzzle. So again, certain pitchers, Wilson Contreras, could make sense. I still think he's not off the Schwarber leadoff idea, and I think it was a really good idea in theory. At the time, it should have worked. There was sound reasoning. I just think Madden kind of stubbornly clung on to it too long, the same way the front office probably delayed the inevitable for a bit too long in terms of sending Schwarber back down to Iowa. I'm sure there'll be days where Anthony Rizzo will make sense at the top of the order, and we're kind of kicking around in the press box last night. If you look at Chris Bryant's numbers with no runners on base and with runners on base, I'm sure it's some sort of statistical anomaly, but why not throw a huge on base guy and the best base runner on your team up there at some point? Zobrist can do it, but he likes him hitting behind Rizzo for switching and protection. He's thought about Ian Happ, but at this point doesn't really want to thrust him into that role. So, but look, the Cubs are, it's not totally running out of ideas. They've really kicked around a lot and haven't found something that works. So I think just going to keep experimenting, keep hanging around in this bad NL Central and see if someone gets hot. Maybe it's Schwarber, but I think forcing him back at the top of the lineup doesn't make any sense in these last couple games before the All-Star break.
So you brought up the All-Star break. In your mind, having been around the team, you know, for so long with that long road trip and then coming back here for the couple games against the Rays and then Brewers, how badly do you believe the Cubs need this All-Star break? These 4 days off, you know, only sending Wade Davis for sure and possibly Chris Bryant or maybe another guy if there's an injury or something. But in your mind, how badly do they need this break?
I think it's exactly what they need. I think the worst thing probably would have been the fans stuffing the ballot and sending, like, you know, six undeserving players. Miami, I think, after playing into November, knowing that they're going to be in this kind of slog in the second half where they haven't been able to bury teams like the Pirates, where the Cubs expect the Cardinals at some point to get hot. You think they have a run in them. And, you know, it's wherever the Cubs go now. You know, they're the team that everyone wants to play. They're this huge following on the road. They're a team with all these off-the-field interests and activities and endorsements and charities. And I don't think they need the affirmation or the confidence boost from being around the best players in the world. I think they've proven what they can do on the biggest stage. And I think at this point to go golfing or out on a lake or out on a beach somewhere makes a lot of sense.
All right. Thanks, Pat. Appreciate the knowledge on Kyle Schwarber.
Anytime, Tony.
All right. That'll do it for the Cubs Talk podcast this week. Again, we are brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/Cubs. The Cubs welcome in the Pittsburgh Pirates this weekend at Wrigley Field for three games right before the All-Star break, which is coming at a much-needed time for these Cubs, the defending world champions, who are kind of slogging through the first half of this season. After the break, starting next Friday, the Cubs will head out on a road trip to Baltimore and then another stop in Atlanta before returning home. You can find all of our podcasts at csnchicago.com/podcasts or subscribe on Apple Podcasts. We are also available on Google Play, Stitcher, and Audioboom, and follow at @CSNCubs where every episode is posted along with all of your daily news and notes.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.